You're listening to Screen Heroes on the Heroes Podcast Network.
All right. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Screen Heroes, your TV and film podcast on the Heroes Podcast Network. I am your host, Derek, and I have with me my two longtime lovely co-hosts, Ryan.
Did you forget my name there for a second? Hi.
And Ray.
Hello.
No, there was just a slight delay. I had
Pause there, so maybe you're unsure.
No, I had the stream running and I forgot to mute it. And so I started hearing other sounds right as I was supposed to say your name, and it took me a second to realize what it was. No big deal. We're good. But yeah, this is us, Derek, Ryan, and Ray. We are Screen Heroes. Welcome back to the show. This is episode 236, and this week we are discussing WandaVision episode 3. Called Now in Color. Turns out these episodes actually do have titles. And before we do that, we're going to be talking some news. And then at the tail end of the episode, we're going to theorize some ways Chris Evans can return to the MCU as Captain America, because there's been rumors about that. So if you stick around, we will be discussing those things. Ray, over to you.
Right. Okay. So, there are some weird rumors about HBO Max developing a Harry Potter series. And I say this is weird because right now, both Warner Brothers and HBO Max are denying it. So
questionable.
Right? Like, that's super weird that it would get this far and not one would be like, yeah, let's do this.
It's a strange situation for sure. The Hollywood Reporter claims they've spoken to executives from both Warner Brothers and HBO Max, at least according to comicbook.com. So, I mean, the Hollywood Reporter is not a small name. It's not a clickbaity source either. So I'm wondering if it was a misunderstanding or something like that out of an interview, but it is weird. The report, if you can even call it that, does say that they have nothing specific in mind. They're looking for pitches for a Potterverse series. So it's not like they have a premise for a show even or anything like that. They've got nothing. The rumor is that they want to do something in the Potterverse.
So not a lot of facts about this at this point, and not a lot of reporting to actually do, just some quick opinions. The world is vast and there's a lot they could do on their own. They could just pull from just about anything if they wanted to, but I know not any of us are really too keen on celebrating it.
Yeah, there's definitely been some controversy surrounding J.K. Rowling, and makes us less interested in it. It's just a shame because there are a lot of things that I would like to see in that universe, but I will politely decline if she is involved.
And here's the thing, just so everybody knows, she doesn't need to be directly involved. She doesn't have to write a script. She doesn't have to be on set or even produce. But she still owns the majority of the rights. So no matter what, she gets a small portion of everything Harry Potter that there exists. If you buy something random off the internet, even if you think it doesn't go to her, it probably does. So
unless you're buying it secondhand, that'd be about the only way to stop that.
Exactly. So you can buy stuff secondhand and that's it.
Yeah, this was an issue back when the Ender's Game film was happening, because the author of the Ender's Game franchise, Orson Scott Card, in recent years is not fair, longer than recent, but not when he originally wrote the books, came out as very kind of anti-same-sex rights and anti-gay marriage and those types of things. And people didn't want to support the film because they didn't want any money going to him. And then there was this whole conversation about how, well, he had a flat deal. He's already been paid. So the box office isn't going to get him any more money. So you're not helping him if you buy a ticket. And it's a very complicated conversation because, of course, in that case, if the movie does really well and they make another one, he's going to get paid again. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's the case here with Rowling. Even if she gets a flat fee for whatever the show is, if it gets a second season, she's going to get another flat fee, right? If there's another spinoff, she's going to get another flat fee. That's just the way that it works. So it is a very frustrating situation because a lot of us grew up with the Harry Potter franchise and identify with a lot of archetypes in the franchise, but she's kind of ruined it for everybody.
For a good chunk, like it's really difficult to find the same kind of joy in it. And looking back, it's very difficult for me to ignore the other problematic stuff. Of course, recently her transphobic views have been at the forefront, but you know, you look back, you find out that Dobby is very problematic. Cho is problematic. The Patil sisters problematic. Like, she didn't do all the research she claimed, and she wasn't very respectful of other people's cultures. So it's just not as fun for me anymore. Mm-hmm. And then you remove all that, the Fantastic Beasts series is very underwhelming. It's not as interesting. It seems like the whole thing is either a huge cash grab, or B, she really wanted to just tell the Dumbledore Grindelwald story and they were like, no, let's do this instead. Both aren't great reasons to keep making content if the content's boring.
Yeah, I agree with all that.
Yeah, I don't have anything else to add.
Okay, so listeners, you tell us what you think about the Harry Potter stuff. Are you torn on it? Do you want to go do it? Are you able to separate art from artists a little bit better than we are in this case? So let us know.
For the children.
Of course, if you joined us live while we record the show, you could chat with us right now, facebook.com/heroespodcasts, live Tuesday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern.
We would really enjoy that. Thank you.
What else we got?
Well, we have a ton of shifting dates. So because of COVID-19, we had a ton of movies move out of 2020. Some did end up going straight to VOD, like Scoob and Bill and Ted Face the Music, but most just moved out of 2020. Mm-hmm. Well, we have now even more films moving out of the winter and spring Q1, Q2 into the fall and even out of 2021. So first, we did have something move up. So Godzilla versus Kong was a May release. It's now releasing in March simultaneously on HBO Max and in theaters. So that's now happening at the end of March. Depending on what country you live in, it's either March 26th or March 31st. So there's that for you. However, pretty much anything else of note has either already moved or is rumored to be moving. We have The King's Man moved to August. A Quiet Place Part 2 moved to September. No Time to Die and Last Night in Soho both moved to October. Ghostbusters moved to November. And now Morbius and Uncharted both moved to 2022.
I'm still not convinced Uncharted is actually done.
I mean, it's supposed to be filming, but or done filming, but I guess we don't really know for sure. But yeah, so we still have a few movies that were unclear about. Black Widow still has not officially moved out of its May spot. Neither has Free Guy. And we have Spiral, which is the Chris Rock-led Saw film, also in May. And Emma Stone's Cruella is still also in May. So May is still a fairly stacked month with four major releases.
Well, Cruella was supposed to be a straight to Disney Plus. So that and Raya and the Last Dragon are going to have the premium pricing.
Okay. I had not heard that about Cruella. So.
Yes. Yes. So Raya's pricing was released today. Do you have that info? Because I don't have it in front of me.
No.
I don't believe it's the same as Mulan.
So that's interesting. I knew it was a Disney Plus release. I did not know Raya was going to be a premium release. I thought they were basically doing what HBO Max is doing. So that's very interesting. I don't have those numbers.
I'll look at that.
The Coming to America sequel hits Amazon Prime at the beginning of March, same day as Raya and the Last Dragon hits Disney Plus. So you do have a couple movies in March, those two in Godzilla, and then Mortal Kombat is on HBO Max in mid-April. So there you go.
Cool.
That's what we have. I definitely expect most of May's films, if not all of them, to move. I don't expect Black Widow to release on May 7th. I just don't.
Yeah, this seems like a fair bet. I mean, it's a tough, right? Unless you're doing the HBO Max model where you're right. Dual releasing, it's kind of, I mean, how are you going to release your movie? Nobody's going to go see it.
I'm with you. And I it's a little weird that they haven't just made the decision yet. I think it's starting to get really weird that they haven't just decided to do a dual release like HBO. I understand not being as aggressive as Warner Brothers, because Warner Brothers came out and said every movie they're releasing in 2021 is a dual release. I get that that's a little aggressive, but at this point, Black Widow has been delayed a year and it's already a sequel that feels too little too late to begin with, because, you know, spoiler alert, the character's already dead. So, like, just give us the movie so we can enjoy it already.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's my opinion.
Okay. So I just looked up the article that I was looking at earlier. It does not say how much. It specifically ignores that. It says that it's not going to be the same as Mulan.
Okay.
And I think that's probably a good thing, because so many of
backlash.
Yeah, it was a lot of money.
It was
like it was more than any other VOD out there. So, and plus you're already paying for the streaming service as is.
It's true.
Yeah, I would expect it to come to $19.99, which is what the standard VOD has been for this COVID era type of release. And I think that that's just more reasonable across the board.
Yeah.
So anything else on release date stuff?
I don't think so.
Okay. Fair enough. The first movie out there that I expect to actually hold its date would be Shang-Chi on July 9th. I think that's the first realistic release date.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
So, you know, could still be the MCU bringing everybody back to theaters for real here in the States. I think that that is a very legitimate possibility.
Definitely.
So, any other news that you guys want to cover?
We don't have to talk much about it, but Thor: Love and Thunder started filming today, so that's exciting.
Yep. That is, yeah. That is exciting. Matt Damon is apparently in it, I read.
I love Taika. I swear to God. He just wants to like say fuck you to everything else in the MCU, just do his own random crap, and I love it.
I'm really looking forward to Thor. You know, Ragnarok was just so wonderful. So this one's definitely one of my more anticipated films. Not my most anticipated, but it's definitely really high up there.
Yeah, me too. Ever since Ragnarok, I mean, that blew me away.
Definitely. Yeah.
Ragnarok was just a lot of fun.
Yeah, it really was.
Well, it's clearly the best of the Thor trilogy, right? And then I definitely think it's one of the better MCU films anyway. So
definitely agree.
Yeah. All right. Well, then if that's it for news, we'll go ahead and take a short break. And when we come back, we will be discussing WandaVision episode 3, now in color. So consider this your spoiler warning for the first three episodes of WandaVision. We'll be right back, everybody. All right, we're back. We are back with the Screen Heroes podcast here to talk WandaVision episode 3, now in color. Where would you guys like to start on this one. Spoiler warnings if you didn't catch that before the ad break, but this is all spoiler territory at this point.
Yep.
Where do you want to kick things off?
Oh, Derek, I think we should kick things off at the beginning.
Okay. Knock yourself out. Sure, go right ahead.
You knock yourself out.
Live on camera. This is going to get us a lot of views.
Oh, yeah. We're going to
hit one night only.
Maybe we'll break double digits.
Oh, no.
All right, Ray, go ahead. Get us started here.
Okay, so this episode is basically 30 minutes of Wanda being pregnant. And
that's not fair. She ceases to be pregnant by the end of the episode.
How? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. It's true. Good for her. But yeah, her powers have definitely gone very intense. And I think some of the best stuff in this is when she's getting distracted, she's getting contractions and flutterings and kicks, and her powers, like, she has less control over them, which I think we're going to see more and more of her having less control over this world.
Yeah,
that's fair. Some of them were pretty funny. I personally liked it more when she had to try and hide that she was pregnant. I thought that was pretty hilarious.
It's such a fun trope. Geraldine. Yes. You know, so many women actors have gotten pregnant over the years, and they've done everything they possibly could to hide it by, like, shoving a fridge door in front of them or making them hold stuff. And some have been more successful than others.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's a big complaint from a lot of other people too, or for a lot of people I've talked to. I like to talk at work and around, you know, to all my friends about the shows to see what their opinions are. And a lot of the people that I talk to are saying that they aren't really digging this show so far, and that they don't want to watch a show, an MCU show that's basically a comedy for laughs. And, you know, that it's a little over the top with, like, the sitcom tropes and things like that. Which I can understand. That's a totally fair criticism. It's not a show that's going to be for everybody. If you're going into it expecting to see a Marvel movie, then it's what we've seen so far is not that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I thought this episode was a little heavy. I mean, I appreciate the sitcom tropes as much as anybody else. But, you know, three episodes in, I feel like things should really be rolling. And right now, I mean, they started to roll, but we're still, you know, really in the dark about everything. So this episode also made me reinforce the belief that this all probably should have been released at once, but yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. It really finally gets, like, deeply interesting at the tail end of the episode.
Right.
Right. When Geraldine is literally thrown out of the town and we get the full picture of what's actually happening, because until that moment, you know, there was speculation about, did she take over an existing town? Is this a pocket dimension? Right. There are lots of different theories. Now we know at least what that is.
Right.
But I definitely see that point. I think that raises some concerns about the She-Hulk show, because that's supposed to be a half hour legal comedy. That's how they're framing the show. And it also kind of puts into perspective that Feige basically said that The Falcon and the Winter Soldier is a 6-hour Marvel film, which is not right. What he's said about WandaVision. And so this is a riskier thing, especially because the way it's being framed at the end of this is supposed to just totally reframe the MCU moving forward with Phase 4 and basically define the terms of what Phase 4 of the MCU is going to look like. That's a lot of pressure to put on such a unique show when the MCU has, for better or worse, followed a very similar formula through most of its 23 films.
Yeah, I mean, I think this show could make or break the rest of the Disney Plus Marvel shows, at least the ones that are different kind of non-Marvel movie shows like She-Hulk, because, you know, if this show is good and the end is that there's a payoff that makes all these episodes that may not be as Marvel-y worth it, then maybe people will be more likely to check out those shows in the future like She-Hulk. But if it doesn't pay off and they are left disappointed at the end, then, you know, that really could affect She-Hulk and some of the other non typical MCU stuff.
Ray, what do you think?
Oh, well, that actually, like, those comments actually make me a little angry, at, like, believe it or not. And I don't know why. I just feel like, so I've been a huge fan of Scarlet Witch for years. She's been one of my favorite characters. And up until now, I feel like the MCU has wasted her. Both Elizabeth Olsen and the character have star potential. And there's a lot to dig in there. And I feel like we're finally getting this. Clearly, she is dealing with all the trauma of losing her home, her family, her brother, her the man she was in love with. And we're seeing this play out. And right now it's a happy kind of situation, but Scarlet Witch, if you know anything about her, she's not a happy character. Her stories don't end in happy endings. And because, like, in an hour and a half, you haven't had the same payoff that you had in every other Marvel film, you're bored, you're annoyed. Like, it's one thing to critique it, but, you know, to say that it's too gimmicky, too comic or too comedic is just absolutely hypocritical, considering how fucking goofy Ant-Man was. Like, Ant-Man and the Wasp has a whole scene where he's a baby like thing, and Endgame does the exact same thing. You have a baby, and, you know, like,
it's, an hour and a half into those movies, you're getting some payoff. You know, it's for sitting there at this point, we really aren't getting any payoff. I understand your point. I'm not trying to.
I just don't feel like, I mean, when you compare to some other stuff, that there's zero payoff in things like Ant-Man. Like, you could remove those from the entire MCU for me, and it's just like there's no meat to it. There's no special emotions connected to it. And right now, you know, especially at the end of this episode, Elizabeth Olsen is acting her ass off, and she's just gonna get more intense as we go along. Like, I maybe it's because I'm such a huge Scarlet Witch fan, but, like, I can see her and her suffering. Like, can you guys? Like,
I think all of us can, but I can imagine a more casual viewer might not know the character as well. You know, maybe they haven't seen every single MCU movie. You know, we're certainly not the typical viewers, any of the three of us. So it's, you know, sometimes it's hard to see through a different lens. And I don't really get it either, because obviously we all have seen all the Marvel movies. We know there's going to be a big payoff, right? Anybody who's seen Endgame, which was basically everybody in the world, knows that Marvel will generally pay off their movies somehow and their shows. So, you know, is it worth sitting through however many hours of content for this? I mean, I don't know. That's up to each individual person.
It's also up to the rest of the story, you know? Like, I've only seen the first three episodes, and I'm basing what I think is coming off of what I've already seen in the comics from the many different stories of Scarlet Witch. So I could be completely wrong and eat these words in a few weeks. I totally could, and I'm prepared to do so.
Yeah, I think some of it definitely comes back to how different the first two episodes for sure are. You know, most of the Marvel movies, even the ones that break the mold, like, say, Ragnarok or Guardians of the Galaxy, they all still look the same. The style of an MCU film is all very similar. The color palettes, just the way they're shot, there's a lot of similarities. And some rise above it, right? You've got, like, the Winter Soldier, and some are the peak of it, like Endgame. But this show is such a departure that if you aren't into the style, the stylized part of those first two episodes, it's weird. And I like weird. I love weird. It's why I really like Doctor Strange, and I'm super stoked for the sequel and what they're doing with all the multiverse stuff. But I'm a junkie for that weird nonsense. And I'm concerned that maybe it is too much for the general audience that doesn't care about those types of things.
They just want to see the MCU formula.
Right? They want to see their hero stumble and then redeem themselves and win. Mm. And the industry has had some backlash over the success of the Marvel machine, right? Just cranking out these movies that follow similar tones over and over again, because people then aren't as interested in something that breaks that mold.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. It was just kind of rolling around in my head that because Marvel's movies, I mean, the majority of them follow the exact same kind of pattern. All their origin stories are pretty much the same, and a lot of their sequels amp things up in the exact same kind of way. So here is something that's truly different, or at least it is in the beginning. And I understand why that throws people off, you know, 23 movies and they've all done really well in theaters. So something this different may just, it's not going to ruin them. You know, they're too,
they can afford to take risks.
Exactly. Especially when they've got something kind of safe, coming up next.
Yeah. See, one of those people I talked to earlier, or that I mentioned earlier, you know, compared it to like Thor Ragnarok, which they also didn't love, probably because of the comedic elements, but at least Thor Ragnarok, like when it had serious moments, and it did have some very serious moments, you know, there wasn't a laugh track. This show, even in the moments that are supposed to be like, okay, that's weird, there's a laugh track. And so, you know, it kind of throws it off. Like for me, it makes it more creepy when they're, you know, when something really weird is happening and then there's a laugh track with it. But for a normal person, they're like, am I supposed to, you know, even the serious stuff, am I supposed to be laughing at this? You know, what's going on? They can't figure out. So, I mean, yeah, it's, I don't know.
I think you stumbled on the key. We should be uncomfortable with the show right now.
Right.
But that's not an MCU film. The MCU films are comfortable. Right? Like, that's why Infinity War had so many people just freaking out for a year, because it was the first time the MCU really did anything uncomfortable.
Yeah. People did not like that. And I mean, not until Endgame came out.
Exactly. And at least then we knew, we're like, well, the sequel, this next part's coming, and that's going to fix it all. Right. And with this, we don't really know what's going to happen at this point, because we've already had the big climax of the Infinity Saga. So now we've got this just uncomfortable state. And if anything, that means they're actually they've succeeded in what they wanted to do. We just might not like it. Now, I like it, but a person might not like it. But that's so kind of the point.
It's the payoff that we're waiting for.
And there's still six episodes. So how many more episodes are they going to drag out before we're like, you know, feeling like we're starting to get some payoff? Because that's what I want. I just want a taste. I just want a taste of the payoff, you know?
Well, I feel like introducing the kids so quickly and with how fast her pregnancy was, that there's a good chance we're going to see maybe adults by the end of this series.
And there's been rumors that, what was the guy's name that was Quicksilver in the Fox movies? Evan Peters. There's rumors that he's appearing in this show. And so I'm wondering.
So weird.
Isn't one of her kids, doesn't one of her kids have super speed?
Yeah. So she has two children, Speed, who is basically a mini version of her brother, and Wiccan, who's basically a mini version of her, only well adjusted.
So, well, I mean, how great of a little like weird nod for us would it be if Evan Peters was playing Speed?
One of the better parts of those movies,
right? For sure. People almost universally liked him in that role.
Yeah, that's fair.
So that would be kind of funny if that was the case.
I agree.
I think that would be a really fun shout out for, I mean, it wouldn't be like that big of a thing, but it would be pretty cool for fans that have watched all the Marvel movies.
Absolutely.
It's a cool idea. It's a cool idea. Part of me wonders if they want to just distance themselves from all of that, you know, and not cross the streams in any real way.
Well, I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, we'll find. I mean, I would like it. I'm just, again, Marvel does
that really opens the multiverse, right? That really like is a weird thing in the multiverse that they could throw in there, but it raises a lot of questions.
Yeah, we're starting down that path. So I want to talk a bit about what happens in the front yard at the fence line with Vision and the two neighbors.
Herb.
Yeah, Herb and Agnes. So what do you think he wanted? What do you think Herb wanted to tell Vision?
I have no idea. All I know is that he was glitching out.
He wanted to...
Well, before, that was earlier. I mean, like when they're having the conversation. Right.
It seemed pretty clear that he was going to say, to me, it seemed clear that he was going to say, we're all trapped or we're all prisoners. As like they're all prisoners or trapped in Wanda's vision and they're all just kind of being puppeted by her. And Agnes is probably the only one that is not. And so she's, you know, kind of... Agnes, Agatha Harkness, I keep calling her both of those things, but yeah, I think if she's probably the only one that, along with whoever her mysterious husband is, Mephisto, that's going to show up at some point, they're the only ones not being puppeted, because they are in fact partially puppeting her to get her to do things.
Yeah, but there's definitely some outer influence to this, and I think it's kind of obvious just based on the other stuff going on in the background, you know, all the symbolism in the paintings and the everybody else kind of around what they're saying, like the doctor saying that they can't escape, then yeah, I completely agree that Herb was gonna say that they're all in some form or another stuck there.
Yeah,
well, and part of me wonders if maybe, just playing devil's advocate for a minute, Agnes is a red
Mephisto's
herring.
Advocate.
Yeah, Mephisto's advocate for a minute here. That Agnes is a red herring, and she just has a bit of a stronger personality and is trying to keep people under control so they don't all die, but she's not actually Agatha. And it's meant to be a misdirect for people who know the background material.
It's possible, but I think that's a little too clever. I don't think they're going to go that crazy with it. You know what I mean? Like, they want to throw people off. So they're going to do things to throw everybody off, but I don't think that's it.
Okay.
Yeah, I honestly don't believe that we have the whole show figured out, but I do believe that she is Agatha Harkness, because I believe she is going to appear in Doctor Strange.
That's fair.
Also, if you notice, she's like the only one that keeps like certain costume pieces on through all the decades. She has this one brooch that she's wearing, and she wears it. She's worn it in every decade so far, and it's the same. Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's obviously something about her that's different than every other person in this thing. So I think if they were going to play it as like a red herring, doing something like that would not be, I mean, I don't know. Cause then everybody at the end would just be questioning, well, why did she get to keep this part of her costume and nobody else got to keep anything? And she was a red herring the whole time. You know, there'd be no payoff for that.
Yeah. The red herring is more likely that, you know, maybe she's not the villain.
Yeah, that could be it. I thought about that same thing.
That it could just be Wanda. That Wanda's getting in her own way and she's become a villain.
Or it could just be that Mephisto is a villain and Agatha's just kind of along for the ride.
Right.
And she's not really working with him.
Because Agatha has been both... Agatha in the comics is on her own side only. You know, she has her reasons for doing things, and sometimes that lines up with the good side of morality and the bad side.
So I do have one complaint in this episode, and it has to do with how Geraldine is found out.
Okay.
She's wearing a sword necklace, and I just don't believe that her character is dumb enough to do that.
She's, don't know anything about her character.
No, but she's an agent for S.W.O.R.D. And we understand to an extent how serious S.W.O.R.D. would take things because of S.H.I.E.L.D. And we've had S.H.I.E.L.D. shown in, you know, to our faces for a decade. And so I have to believe that even if she ended up in there by accident, like the helicopter crashing, right, that she would have hid that necklace and not just been wearing it around for Wanda to see. I just, that was just a little silly for me. And I liked where they were going until that moment. I liked that she was, you know, kind of poking and prodding and trying to get underneath what was happening to try and reach Wanda. I thought that was really cool. And then it kind of ruined it for me that it was like, oh, you're wearing the symbol of the guys I don't like.
See, I had a different problem with it because having watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., there's a lot of really stupid S.H.I.E.L.D. agents that do stupid shit. So that doesn't really surprise me. In any workplace, there's always going to be the dumbest person. And I'm not saying Monica or Geraldine or whatever is the dumbest person, but everybody makes mistakes, right? And she's already been like warped into this alternate reality. So she's already thrown off her game. She can't remember things. And so, that didn't bother me, but I don't, in the movies, has there been a point when Scarlet Witch has dealt with S.W.O.R.D.?
No. That
was my issue with it. How does she even know what S.W.O.R.D. is? She knows what S.H.I.E.L.D. is, but she would just see a S.W.O.R.D. necklace and be like, oh, I bet they're related to S.H.I.E.L.D. You know, I don't know. That was the problem with that for me, but
I think that's off screen, honestly. And I know that's a lame answer, but because like the beekeepers got the same symbol and she kind of like recognized him and the helicopters got the same symbol, I think she knows the symbol as being people out to stop her, but that might be all that she knows.
Or invaders. Yeah. She just knows they're not like part of this.
Right. Exactly.
That makes more sense, but yeah, I don't know if that's enough to like throw somebody out of this whole town for.
It is interesting that she didn't kill her.
Right.
Because let's be honest, she's got the power to kill her. Right. Well, so
she killed Crossbones.
She killed Crossbones. She was going to kill Thanos. So she's got no problem killing this little agent that we have here. Right. So it's interesting that she chose not to do that and instead just expelled her from the town, which leads me to believe it's really difficult to get inside.
Was it weird for you guys, like, hearing her all of a sudden start mentioning Ultron and things in the Marvel movies? Like, for me, I was like, I'm into the sitcom, right? And I know it's a Marvel thing, but then, like, to hear her go, oh, your brother was killed by Ultron. And it's like, oh, shit, it's this part. Like, it was just weird in the sitcom to hear Ultron referenced in a serious moment, you know?
I thought it was finally time, because going from Age of Ultron to Civil War, literally their movies back to back. I mean, that like Ant-Man's in between, but whatever. and they don't acknowledge her brother dying at all.
Yeah.
And in Endgame, they barely acknowledge that Vision's dead. So this girl is like having her entire world upended, and we're still focused on Tony and Cap, and that makes sense. I understand it's really their saga, but cooler stuff is going on in the background. So I thought it was much too late, but like finally. Sorry guys, my baby got some vaccinations today, so I'm gonna take care of her at the moment. So
that's okay. Derek and I will continue talking amongst ourselves.
Yeah, be nice about WandaVision.
Oh, we're going to be so nice. Now, once you're gone, I guess we'll unleash my true feelings.
Right. Because nice is something you both are known for.
That's right.
That's hurtful.
Okay.
No.
Catch you all next week.
Oh, okay. She's not coming back, apparently. Okay.
Probably not, just in case. Like, we're more than halfway through. So just in case, catch you all next week. I'm at Siren Ray.
Okay. No, that was a really interesting moment for me, too. I thought it helped kind of bring seriousness to it that we hadn't really had much of yet. And it showed me like Geraldine's got some guts, because she knows what Wanda's capable of to some extent, right? Just, you know, maybe she doesn't know the full breadth of the powers, but she knows some extent, and she's willing to start prodding what is clearly a very emotional topic on purpose. Well, she's
trying to connect with Wanda. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know that that was necessarily brave. It was more like, I feel like, trying to secure her safety, right? She's in this crazy thing by somebody who could just rip her apart at any moment. So she wants to connect with that person. I don't know. Either way, it was an interesting move to bring up Ultron. And it did what it was supposed to for me. When I say it kind of like shocked me to hear that. That was what it was supposed to do, right? Because that was the whole point. So yeah, I thought they did a really good job with that.
Yeah. I mean, that's fair. I guess, from at least the viewer perspective, everybody seems pretty safe. Like, no one's lives appear to be in danger. Obviously they're held captive, right? They're prisoners, but
every single one of them seems scared of Wanda except for Agnes.
Yeah, but I imagine that's because they know what she can do, not necessarily what she is doing.
So they don't really feel safe then, I imagine.
Well, right. But I guess what I mean by that is, like, Wanda's not trying to hurt anybody.
Yet.
Right? So, well, yeah, obviously. But so trying to, like, bring up her dead brother and traumatic events seems like that would be a more risky thing than going along with it. So that's why I'm saying I think it takes guts.
Fair enough.
I don't know.
So I only had a couple notes this week. So one thing I thought was interesting, that when Monica or Geraldine or whatever gets thrown out of the little vision thing, whatever you want to call this bubble, that Wanda's created.
Yeah.
All that stuff, all her clothes and everything stays on. Everything's the same. So obviously whatever happens, whatever Wanda controls and changes inside is permanent. Mm-hmm. It's not like, you know, this is just a weird fantasy in her brain and things go back to normal as soon as they leave it. Everything that's happening in here is permanent. So that means right. There's definitely going to be permanent consequences at the end of this whole thing.
Which does support the theory that Vision's actually back.
Right.
At least because
he's
now.
Obviously real.
Yeah.
The only other note I had was so we talked a little bit about the commercials.
Yes.
In these. And this one, I was a little bit more of a struggle to find a connection, but this is a weird connection because, you know, I'm a fan of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. In one of the seasons, they go into something called the Framework, which is basically an alternate reality where everybody is doing different jobs. Coulson's like this conspiracy theorist. Some of them work for Hydra. It's kind of like a flashpoint reality, but it's all in like a computer and they're all just like plugged into this computer, like the Matrix. And at one point in that season, in the Framework, they reference Hydra's brainwashing soap that like soaks in through your pores. And it's meant as like a conspiracy theory joke, like, because Coulson's a teacher that's like way into conspiracy theories and stuff. Mm-hmm. And he makes his own soap because of this brainwashing soap. But then they see the Hydra soap in this episode. That's the only connection I can make to it, but I feel like there had to be something there with that. That's just too coincidental.
I mean, that sounds like that's what it is.
It's cool though. That's a cool connection, right? Because yeah, it's just kind of a throwaway thing in the show, and you don't, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans don't get that kind of satisfaction very often, so that was really cool to see.
Yeah, that is really cool. I took it just as a Hydra reference, not a very obvious one, you know, but
right.
But that's fun. I like that. That's better.
Yeah, it was a nice nod for people that like the show. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, those were my only two notes. A lot of stuff happened, but it was all like very obvious stuff. There's not a lot of theory like adding to what we already talked about last week. Most of those things that I talked about last week, I still think are going to be what happens. So most of this that happened this week really supported that. But if you didn't listen to that, go check out that episode. We all discussed a lot of theories about what we think, where we think this series is going, and this episode supported most of our theories. So we can't really count any of them out at this point. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, I mean, everything else that happens are just kind of plays on sitcom scenarios, you know, like the stork, she's trying to hide the stork and the stork wants to eat Geraldine's pants because they have fish printed on them, right? And then
the red smoke when she like tries to make the stork disappear was cool.
Yeah, that was a nice effect. You know, and then it was just like regular, like pregnancy joking sitcom-y type things, just at a hyper speed.
Yeah.
Right. It was really all that kind of was. Yeah, there was the weird Herb glitching moment where he's cutting the hedges and he starts cutting the brick fence.
And of course, there's a laugh track behind that to make it all the more creepy.
And that was kind of weird because it implies that Wanda not only has created this environment and created what everyone looks like and what they're wearing and everything, but is literally controlling their actions subconsciously. And when she gets too distracted, they get stuck.
That scene also weirded me out a little bit because, you know, we're led to believe that this is a whole neighborhood, right?
Right.
And, you know, when he's cutting those hedges, it is very clearly just a painting behind him.
Yes, I noticed that.
So, how, I mean, surely she would notice just a painting, right?
Well, so I thought,
I know that's a throwback to the sitcom, yeah, right? And but also like that's a reality. It has to make sense in universe too, right? I mean, because it's happening in universe. It's not, I don't know.
It is and it isn't, right? Because it's it's happening in reality, but it's her TV show reality. So she's,
so the painting just disappears and turns into a real house when she leaves the house,
when she wants it to look real. Yeah. When she wants to go over there. Otherwise it's very not weird. There. It is. It's totally weird. Absolutely. But you know, matte paintings were massive. That was a thing, sure. You know? And so I think it just, it's that aesthetic, right? Or maybe she only has a certain range that she can actively manipulate, right? Or at least at this point, because she's, you know, still learning a lot of her powers, or she's just too mentally strained. And
or
so
because she's just about to give birth, you right. know, she's, yeah.
So maybe that's the limit of her could abilities be. At that moment in time.
I mean, in reality, it's just like a nice nod to the sitcoms, but yeah. It made me think, like, how is this working in universe? Because mm-hmm. it is in universe, and it's very clear. They're making it obvious that this is what this is. So right. that, you know, I don't know.
Now,
maybe I'm thinking too much about it.
The Agnes thing, another piece to this is that Agnes is the one who tells Vision that she doesn't have, that Geraldine doesn't have a home. Right?
Uh-huh.
So Agnes wants Geraldine found out, which would lead credence to the idea that Agnes is a villain because she wants to keep all of this going. Whereas, like, everybody else, if you're really just a regular person who's trapped, would want any help you could get to get out of that situation.
Well, and I mean, that's supported by either in the first or second episode when the interaction with the mailman that I commented on that was really weird, you know, and her trying to keep track of any messages incoming to Wanda, mm-hmm. You know, and doing the weird like gun motion with the mailman that's really, and then staring at his butt. I mean, that whole interaction was just super weird and out of place. So I feel like that was to kind of throw you off and make you go, okay, well, clearly she's like trying to control something here.
Right. Yeah.
So yeah, that's just all evidence pointing towards that she is actually a villain, but that could be a red herring. We don't know.
Could be. It could be. And maybe Agnes thinks that Geraldine is a bad guy because she doesn't belong there, because she's not from that group. Right. There's another way that you could look at that. She knows that Geraldine doesn't belong, so maybe she's the problem.
And Vision's mentioned some unsavory characters coming into the neighborhood lately in the previous episode. So, you know, that all could be connected.
Mm-hmm. But I think, I mean, at least for me, that was kind of it for the episode. There wasn't a whole lot else to dive into.
I'm hoping episode 4 has a lot more crap for us to go like, okay, we got to dissect this. But really, the most thing we were dissecting was the painting behind Herb or whatever his name is, you know, the wall painting. So whatever. It was a good episode. But yeah, I wish more would start happening.
Yeah,
I don't want the whole thing given away or anything, but like, give me something so I feel like I've got something concrete, at least one little concrete thing.
Definitely. Well, okay, so then we're going to take one more short break, and when we come back, we're going to theorize some ways Chris Evans could return to the MCU as Captain America before we wrap up our episode this week. So we will be right back, everybody. All right, we're back, and there's been these rumors that Chris Evans is returning to the MCU as Captain America. So that would, you know, lead us to believe not as, you know, old man Cap necessarily, but actually as Captain America. And I thought it would be fun, before we have any actual information, just to kind of theorize some ways he could return or ways we'd like to see him return. And, you know, Ryan, do you have any thoughts on that? Anything you'd like to see?
Not old man Cap. I mean, I want old man Cap. I want to see old man get off my lawn Cap, just like booting some guys in the face, like Clint Eastwood style. Get off my lawn, you know?
What, or like to train old man Logan.
They can have him be like old man Logan and have like this be set in the way in the future. I don't know. But in reality, they're not going to do that. There was a lot of time unaccounted for, kind of when he was like going between dimension or going between time periods, returning Infinity Stones. There's a lot of stuff that can be done there. I don't necessarily love the idea of him coming back, because I thought he had such a beautiful wrap up with Peggy in Endgame. And he's like one of the only characters that got a really like just beautiful beginning to end arc. And so seeing him come back is a little weird. I'd rather just have that character be done. I don't want to see every character come back, even though I'm a huge Cap fan. The only other thing I thought maybe might happen is, which I'm not really confident in because I don't think they would waste him on this, but they are doing the Secret Invasion show on Disney+. And I thought having him come back as Skrull Cap might be a thing, like Captain America, but he's actually a Skrull. They've got a Skrull in his place. You know, that happens in the comic books, but I don't know. I don't foresee them wasting that on the Secret Invasion TV show.
Yeah. So to kind of piggyback on all of those things that you were saying, I think the most likely is a mini series about him returning the stones, because I think a lot of fans have found the idea interesting. And I think they could do, you know, like a 4 to 6 episode mini series on him returning those stones.
Yeah. Seeing him interact with Red Skull again, like, who doesn't want that? Come on. That's so cool.
I think it works well because it leaves his ending in place and intact, but helps fill in just kind of how some of this worked. And we can see him in some unique situations and things like that. So I think that would be really cool. That I would really like to see. And I think that's the most realistic.
I did read some article saying that there were rumors that Captain America was going to be fighting Sam Wilson Cap at some point. And this is, you know, that's what his return is for. I'm like, I sure as shit hope they don't waste his return on 2 Captain Americas fighting. That's the last thing I want to see.
So this leads to an idea that I have, and I'm not saying that I like this idea or that I think that it's very likely to happen, but it's a possibility. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff in superheroes are about the symbol of the hero, right? You know, that they stand for more than themselves. And it has to do with that them being an image for people to look for. And with Cap basically being dead from all, you know, practical purposes, yeah, they could try to either use a Skrull to look like Cap or clone Cap in a way. And maybe that doesn't go well, and Sam has to take him down.
But it's going to be exactly the same as what happens in the Falcon Winter Soldier show with the fake Cap, you know, except it's not actually a clone. I just don't want to see that same shit rehashed a bunch of times.
So going just way off the deep end on conspiracy theory stuff, what if that is Cap?
U.S. agent?
What if it's not actually U.S. agent?
You're saying it's Chris Evans putting on a bunch of prosthetic makeup and
No, I'm saying that it will end up being Chris Evans, but that they didn't use him. Like, they're going to do like facial reconstruction in post to keep that a secret.
Oh, so you think he's a U.S. agent is going to show up and have Cap's face?
Right. Yeah.
I mean, I would be not happy if I was the actor that played U.S. agent.
That's well, unless sure. that, unless you knew going in.
That's but he actually like is a decent actor. So like to pay somebody, like, why wouldn't you just get a stunt person to do it or something if you were going to do that? You know,
I mean, because
like people in the face.
Well, because it's more believable, right? If that was the whole ruse, if really the idea was to keep that a lockdown secret, I mean, that would be the best way to possibly do it. Nobody would ever have guessed.
That's true. I don't know. That's a bit out there, but yeah, I mean, that would be a funny way to do it.
Yeah.
It seems more likely to me that he would just like show up in one of the Loki timelines or something like that.
That would be fine. I'd be totally fine with that. You know, if he goes to a particular time period where he still was around.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Him and Loki have had interactions in the past. I mean, that scene with Captain America in Germany was such a great scene, mm-hmm, up against Loki. So, you know, they've had interactions before. It would make some sense there. But I think, it's a little wasted. I don't think you're going to get Chris Evans. You know, I think he would do it. But I don't think that you're going to use, if you start a contract with Chris Evans saying that we needed him to appear in 2 or 3 more properties, that you're going to use it in 1 episode of a Disney Plus show. You're going to use it in a movie, right? I mean, always.
I mean, maybe. I mean, he did do the bit in The Dark World, right, where Loki turns into him for 5 seconds. And I think that Chris Evans is the kind of guy who would be fine doing those types of things because it's fun and it interweaves some stuff. So I definitely think it's on the table. I just think that I'm with what you said earlier, which is that very few characters get to have the satisfying arc that he got. And Tony's the other character, right? I think both of them got really incredible arcs over the course of the Infinity Saga. And at this point, anything else you do with those two actors as those two characters risks that legacy.
Right. You could just leave it and then you always have this legacy of these great characters. But yeah, as soon as you start doing other stuff, you know, and if it was scroll cap, like that wouldn't ruin it because this, that's not actually cap. That's just right. a scroll doing a cap impression essentially. So you'd still maintain that legacy. But if you're actually using him as Captain America, then yeah, that's what I worry about because he's one of my favorite characters. I mean, I would hate to see them tarnish that. And I don't know that Marvel will do that. You know, like the rumors about Iron Man coming back, like he's voicing something in the What If series.
Mm-hmm. And that's different.
Maybe yeah. he'll be doing like a Jarvis like voice in the Ironheart series or something. Who knows?
Now, but, see, that would be really cool though, because first off, that's based on the comic books, right? Yeah. So that he is the AI in that line of the comics. And I think having him be take over that Jarvis role, it doesn't tarnish Tony because it's not actually Tony.
Right.
Right. This is an AI computer program, and it allows his presence to help guide this new young character into a pivotal role. So that works for me. I don't have any problem with that. In fact, I hope that they're able to work that out.
Yeah, I don't either. And it's a lot easier to pay to Robert Downey Jr. for a voiceover and have him not actually have to do anything, or even Chris Evans, pay him so he doesn't actually have to work out or anything. He just does voiceover. If there was some way, or have him, I'm sure he's going to be in the What If show too. They probably all are, but
yeah.
You know, I don't know. I just really worry that they're going to ruin his legacy. That would be terrible. And well, don't have him fight Falcon. Come on.
No, I don't really want that to happen. I'm just being silly, kind of theorizing some crazy stuff. I really want to see Falcon stand on his own. I want Falcon to become the next Captain America as he did in the comics. And I want him to be able to do it, you know, not 100% on his own. You know, he's got Bucky there to kind of be his support, but I don't want Steve Rogers Cap to be part of that at this point.
In chat, we keep getting the Red Skull mentioned. Do you think it could that maybe Red Skull will be cloning himself or like trying to dress up as Cap to do something? I think at this point, with him being like the Stone Protector, that seems like a weird yeah.
There's no way for him to be able to do that. Someone would have to relieve him.
Or he'd have to go like if it takes place further back in time, I guess, but it would have to go way back. Yeah.
Before he knew Cap. Like
first Avenger time, basically.
It would have to be before he even knew who Cap was.
Yeah.
Right. Which doesn't really work. So unless you want to bring the Loki series into it and Loki somehow gets to Red Skull before then. And
or it's a multiverse Red Skull where he isn't the Infinity Stone Keeper, because we are going to be starting to deal with multiverse stuff. So
that's true. And that's where things get kind of sketchy, right? Because if it's multiverse stuff we're talking about, then Chris Evans could come back and play a different version of Cap, or
yeah, the one that our current version stole the shield from, maybe.
Right, there you go. You know, or hey, you know what, Chris Evans could come back and play the Human Torch again.
Yeah, it's true.
There you go.
No thanks, I'm good. I mean, it would be a fun nod, but no, let's get a new Human Torch in there.
Okay, fair enough. Any other theories on Cap that you want to throw out there?
No sir.
Okay, well then I think this is a good place to stop then for the week. So next week we'll be covering WandaVision episode 4 and talking some other fun movie and TV nerdy goodness. So join us next week for that. Don't forget to join us live on Tuesday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern on the Heroes Podcast Network Facebook page. Thank you to everybody who joined us and chatted during the show. We appreciate it. We really do. So thank you. And if you can't join us live, no problem. Our show is streamable at heroespodcast.com, and you can subscribe on your podcast app of choice. We're pretty much everywhere. iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, you name it. We got it. If it's not on your service, let us know and we'll figure out what it takes for us to end up there. Drop us a review. If you review our show, I promise we will discuss your review live on the show. So please go ahead and do that. It helps people find the show for us. Ray, you can find at Siren Ray. Ryan is at Buster Props. I am at the Star Trek Dude. And we are the Screen Heroes Podcast on the Heroes Podcast Network. Follow us at Screen Heroes Pod on Twitter. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We will catch you next time.